Thanks for listening to the Inner Life Podcast. Be sure to join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio or on the Relevant Radio app. Find your local Relevant Radio station at relevantradio.com or stream us live every day on the Relevant Radio app.
It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is the Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to the Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Hi, welcome to this Tuesday edition of The Inner Life. I'm Josh Raymond. So glad to have you joining us here today as we do what we try and do every day here on The Inner Life. Try and look at some aspect of our faith and how we can live that out in a way that draws us closer to Christ, that allows us to impact the world around us for good. So today, as we begin the program, have you had one of those really memorable trips? What was the most memorable one that you have taken in your life? And where did you go? What sights did you see? What made it so memorable? Actually, right before walking into the studio here, we were talking about a coworker here had just visited St. Louis. And I've only been to St. Louis once, but another friend here in the office, he said, well, did you go see the Arch? I said, no, but I did see a Trader Joe's when I was driving through. But you know, some of those different sights, what are the things that make those trips memorable? Hopefully they're good memories. Hopefully they're not bad memories. Well, my best friend growing up, his name is Matt, and he still lives in the town where both of us met, and we went to school together from fourth grade on and graduated high school there. And we still keep in regular contact, but now we live 1,700 miles apart, so we see each other far less frequent. But when we were both sophomores in college, we had been in touch through the course of the school year, and we said, hey, let's do kind of one of those typical things that college students do. We wanted to take a cross-country trip together during spring break, driving from one end of the U.S. to the other end, from the west to the east. And so when spring break came, I flew out and I met Matt. He was going to college in northern Idaho. I was going to college in Alabama. So we had kind of this diagonal west to east trek that we had planned. And as is the case for most poor college kids, we'd strategically planned our route so that we could stay the night at homes of different friends that we knew along the way, and we could limit how much money we had to put out for different hotel rooms. And we also knew that we wanted to hit certain places along the way. We had planned our map, our route. This was before the days of GPS. We had the Atlas there, and we knew we wanted to go through Roswell, New Mexico, wanted to see where the aliens landed, or at least visit one of the alien museums there. We also knew that when we crossed the Mississippi River, we had a Creedence Clearwater Revival CD, and it had to be playing Proud Mary right as we drove across the bridge there so we could celebrate crossing the Mississippi River. And early in the trip, we decided we wanted to pass through Las Vegas. We wanted to drive the strip and then visit Hoover Dam out there. And now if you have ever driven through Nevada, you know that the vast majority of the middle of that state, it's just open wilderness. There's nothing for miles and miles and miles. It is just, that's it, open land and sagebrush. And so when Matt and I, we were driving down through this open wilderness on Highway 93, it was late in the afternoon, and we knew as the sun was getting low that we'd have to stop in Vegas. We couldn't keep on driving. All right, that's where we'll get the hotel for the night. But as we continued driving towards Vegas and the sun was setting, it looked like it just kept setting. It didn't. It went behind the horizon, but then it just stayed there. And it was so incredible, and we were mystified. But what happened, the sky, it was in this sunset mode for almost an hour before we realized what we were seeing. And what we were seeing, that open flat land in Nevada, along with the lights that are coming from the city, it had given us this false notion that we were watching this very slow sunset. And we were still more than an hour away from the outskirts of Las Vegas when we realized what we're seeing this. It's the lights there in the city not the sun any longer. The sun had probably been gone for a good 45, 60 minutes, something like that. And it made that last hour of driving drag on and on for what seemed an eternity. We could see those city lights off in the distance, but for the longest time, we could never seem to get any closer. It just felt like almost like we were on this conveyor belt that was the highway, trying to get to the city, just couldn't get there. Like someone was playing this cruel trick on us. But I had no idea of how those city lights, how bright they all were, until we ended up driving into Vegas on that night as we were taking that spring break trip. Now today, if you have already gone to Mass, or if you're going to be going to Mass later, you're going to hear in the gospel reading where Jesus tells us that we are the light of the world. And he says that your light must shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father. So how about you? Does your light shine before others? If someone wasn't close to you, kind of like me and my friend Matt, more than an hour outside of Las Vegas where we could see those city lights so far off in the distance, if someone isn't around you all the time, or if they don't know you very well, does your light, do your good deeds shine so brightly that someone couldn't help but see them? Well, today we want to talk about how we can be that light in our world. And of course, the irony of this metaphor of light, me telling this story of Matt and I driving into Las Vegas. It's not lost on me, of course, quite the contrary. The light of Christ that we carry out to change, it is to change the world, especially for those places that revel in sin and debauchery. We all have those. It's not just, you know, one location in our country or one location in our world. Every one of our communities have those dark corners. So how can you and I bring the light of Christ to those dark corners of our world? Helping us look at how we can carry the light of Christ, we can be the light to the world. Today, one of our regular spiritual directors, Father Bobby Blood, he's a priest in the Diocese of Rockford, Illinois, parochial vicar at Holy Family Parish in Rockford. And Father, I understand you're going to be starting as the spiritual director at St. Edward High School in Elgin, Illinois, coming up in the new school year.
I am, yeah. We're packing up shop right now, getting all the books packed away and ready to move next week, so we're getting excited to take the show on the road.
Very good. Well, and, you know, it just kind of strikes me that you're going to try and encourage all of those kids as being their spiritual director there. You're going to encourage them, kind of the same conversation we're having today, be that light out there in the world. And, you know, I've talked about light. There's also, in today's gospel reading at Mass, it's at the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and it's in St. Matthew's Gospel, right before we hear what Jesus says in today's words. Yesterday we had the Beatitudes that we heard. And so now we have these metaphors, you know, the light, and Jesus says that we're the salt of the earth. We're supposed to add flavor, add seasoning to the world around us. So we've got a couple of different images here in our mind of how we are supposed to impact the world around us. But this isn't necessarily all by what we say. It's as Jesus says, how we live, our good deeds that allows that light to shine.
Exactly. Yeah, this invitation to kind of spread the good news, it can't be something that we leave in certain boxes, right? We can't compartmentalize this idea of evangelization. I think when we're called to be this light or this salt, it's to bring the flavor to the world, to realize that if Jesus really is who he said he is, and I believe he is, that when we receive him in the Eucharist, when we receive him, you know, in prayer and in these moments of grace, the way we encounter the world should look different. And that means that our actions should look different, and the way we think about things should look different, and the way we pray should look different. And it's this invitation to transform even the simplest moments of encounter, so that every moment we're this light. It's not just, oh, well, I have, you know, Bible study on Tuesdays, so now I'm going to care about what sort of image I'm showing the world, but instead to say, you know, when I go into work, this also is an opportunity just by who I am and who God created me to be, is a way that I can choose to be the light for the world and allow Christ to shine beyond even our own deficiencies.
Right. Well, you know, one thing that comes to my mind is my mom. She never wanted to put a bumper sticker that would identify her as a Christian on her car because she knew that she was a speedy driver. And she thought, oh, if I cut someone off, if I'm, you know, speeding, if I'm not being that witness for Christ in the way I'm driving, I'm hesitant to put something on there that would identify me because I don't want to be a bad representative of Christ, of, you know, God, of the kingdom. But it probably should be the other way around where it's, I don't want to hide that I'm a Christian. I need to say, well, if I've got an area of my life where I'd be embarrassed that somebody would say, oh, well, that's how a Christian acts, I need to modify that behavior.
Exactly. Yeah, I realize this driving, you know, with my clerics on, you know, certain songs have to be skipped, you know, when you realize that the people pulling up next to you at the red light are going to know, oh, that's Father Bobby, you know. I didn't know he liked to get down to Eminem, you know. So I think it is that reminder to us that we are Christians at every moment. And then when the world sees us, the hope is that they see Christ. And man, there are moments where we're going to fall and not be the perfect example. But we don't give up wholesale. It's just that sort of little conversion, right, to realize, oh, we slapped the bumper sticker on the back and maybe go a little bit slower today. So it is that continual invitation from the Lord to say, you know what, today I can make a difference. Today I can make the world look a little bit sweeter.
Well, and it reminds me of the words that I've always heard this quote attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. That, you know, there's so much that we can do just by the way we act.
Recently, I've noticed a lot of folks in my inner circle. One thing that just continued to kind of share the gospel with me is just the joy, especially young families have. You know, as a priest, there's a certain cadence of life, and there's a certain way that I kind of interact with the faith and the church. But then I get to see these families who have the kids running around at Mass, or you know, they're taking each kid to a different baseball practice, and you just see the sort of consistency and the sort of faithfulness they have in loving their family. And that's continued to edify me and call me into a desire for a deeper level of sacrifice. And, you know, are they, you know, corralling their kids at Mass to try and impress Father? Well, maybe, maybe not. I think they're just doing it because that's what needs to be done. But the way I see it is, wow, they're showing me what love looks like. They're showing me what it looks like to say yes to the life God gave us. And it's not like they're sitting me down and saying, Father, you know, this is what love is. This is what, you know, faith in Jesus and a family is. But just by their actions, just by those little yeses, they're impacting the community, including their priest.
Well, and you mentioned the word joy there, too. And, you know, if somebody does have that true joy that you can see just in the way they interact, you know, like you say, parents with children, or the way that they conduct themselves in general when they're interacting with other people around them, if they have, you know, that peace, that fruit of the Spirit there in their lives that you can see, that right there becomes so attractive. You know, I know there are different people I've looked at and said, I wish I was more consistently joyful like that person. But that is something where if I think the deeper we enter into relationship with Christ and the more we realize how much of what we've been given is, you know, everything is just such a gift from God in our lives, it really does make you grateful. You have that attitude of gratitude, not meaning to rhyme. Sorry. But that joy then becomes something that you can't help but have in your life, because if everything good comes from God and He wants only the good for you, even when we're going through difficult times, if we can trust, you know, that God works all things together for good for those who love Him, that joy, that peace, it's going to be impossible to repress that. It'll just flow from us.
And I imagine, you know, these folks that we know who radiate this joy, they're putting in the work. You know, some people are given a certain grace to just have that joyful disposition. But if you really have conversations with these people who seem set apart in a certain sense, they're putting in the extra time in prayer, and they're asking real questions about their thoughts and their feelings and their experiences, and they're bringing those things to Jesus. You know, even, you know, talking to people about the choices they make, you know, in their faith life, in their family life, well, I think the Lord is calling us to X, Y, and Z. and just to allow themselves to have those sorts of dialogues with Jesus then impacts these little moments where the world gets to encounter the light. And so it seems so natural and so free, but I think, too, with that, we're being called to make little shifts and say little yeses to transform the rest of our day so that we can live out that joy in that natural sort of way.
Our spiritual director today, Father Bobby Blood, he's a priest in the Diocese of Rockford, Illinois, and we're talking about being the light of the world. When have you been that light to the world? How do you share Christ with others by not only your words, but your actions? What are those things that you do that day in and day out that you say, this is why I live this way? You know, it's because of Christ, because of that interior change that I've had in my own life, and how have you been able to share your love of Christ with others? Again, maybe more with your actions than with what you're saying. Our studio line is open right now, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Our email address here, innerlife@relevantradio.com, and we'll continue our conversation about the light of the world right after this here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. Call in now to share your story with our Inner Life spiritual directors. 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Josh Raymond, along with our spiritual director, Father Bobby Blood, a priest in the Diocese of Rockford, Illinois, talking about being the light of the world. How do you share the light of Christ with those that you know, maybe people that you don't even know, that you encounter, you know, at the grocery store, at the bank, wherever you're traveling? How are you sharing that light with the world? How are you making sure it's not hidden, that it's, you know, the flashlight isn't turned off, or as Jesus said, that light isn't hidden under a bushel? Well, we'd love to hear how you do that day in and day out in your life. 888-914-9149 is the studio line here, 888-914-9149. And Father, right before the break, you were talking about the importance of prayer, and I wanted to go back to that because we need to make sure that we have a proper foundation in our own lives before we want, if we're going to go out and share Jesus with others. And so first, this really means that we are grounded in regular prayer, regular communication with God. We can't go out there and say, well, yeah, this all sounds good, and if we really don't know God, if we're not in that regular contact, that regular daily communication with Him, it's going to be hard to share with anybody else what God really is, what He's like, what He has told us. You know, same thing with Scripture. If you don't spend time, I think it's St. Jerome who said, ignorance of the Scriptures is ignorance of Christ. And so if we're not spending time in prayer, getting to know Jesus, we're not going to be able to share in any sort of substantial way about our faith.
Yeah, this morning I went to a men's prayer group, and one of the old retired Monsignors came, and he said very little in the time of meeting with this group, but one of the words he just spoke real quiet, it was just consistency. You know, these most of these guys are probably 60 or 70 years old, and they were just talking about how to live the faith, and the old Monsignor, consistency. I think one of the greatest gifts we have in faith is that opportunity that the Lord's mercies are made new every day. And so we're given this opportunity to just enter into that dialogue with Jesus, because we have to be vulnerable with the Lord and receive from Him in order to be the Lord for another person, right? You can't give what you don't have, so to speak. And it starts first and foremost with prayer, because if we're not falling ever deeper in love with Jesus, you're growing distant. That's how relationships work, right? You think of your relationship with your close friends. If you don't work hard for it, they're going to get distant. You think about your friend you mentioned at the top, who's far away, right? You had to make an effort. And you make that effort, and then that grows, and then you're able to kind of share that love with the people you meet. And I realized that in a deep way in my first few years of priesthood. I have to continually be reminded of the why. Why did I become a priest? Why am I a Christian? Why did the Lord give me this life? And it's the fire and the zeal of the people who are deeply rooted in prayer that inspire me to continue to go back to the well. And then they give me something to offer to the people from the pulpit and whatever sort of instance the Lord offers. So it is. It's starting with that intimacy with Jesus, and that gives us the opportunity to be intimate with the souls we meet.
Right. Well, and there's that phrase that many of us have probably heard, that you can't give what you don't have. And again, if our faith is superficial, if it's something that isn't deeply rooted in us, then we're probably only going to be able to share a superficial version of the faith with others. And I guess, honestly, why would you want to waste your time with trying to share a faith that you don't really want to live and practice yourself? You know, that just seems like a waste of everybody's time, a waste of your time, a waste of the time of the person you might be trying to talk to about the faith, a waste of God's time, you know, even though God is outside of time. But if your relationship, if it's real, if Jesus has really transformed you, then that's going to, it's going to be something where you can't help but want to share with others about how God has worked in your life.
And it doesn't mean that your prayer always has to be perfect. You know, there are certain times in our life where, you know, prayer might feel dry, but you continue to do it because it's the right thing to do, right? We don't have to wait until we're, you know, overflowing and bubbly and you know, in the perfect of mood to share the gospel. But it does mean that we're putting in the extra time, and we're allowing ourselves to be known and served and loved by God in order that we might do the same for Him. And then, again, like we've been talking about, be able to share that light with the people we encounter. But it's the daily choice, as most things are.
Well, and, you know, I'm thinking as I'm listening to you of not everything is going to be happiness as we go along. You know, that joy might be there because we have that relationship with Christ, but it doesn't mean that every moment of our day is happy. And one woman that I know, I remember her talking about how when she lost her husband, it was easy to just think about, oh, you know, why am I going through this? There's so much pain and sorrow and, I mean, just the grieving. But she said after she was kind of through that initial grieving process, it really opened the door for her to be able to be a support for other women as they lost their husbands, other widows that were dealing with that same issue with how do I make my way through being on my own when I've been together with my spouse for, you know, 30, 40, 50 years? How do I do that? And this woman, she said that it made me realize that's the way that I can go ahead and share Christ with others, is just being there, being not necessarily having to give a lot of advice or counsel in what she said, but just being able to be there and say, I understand what you're going through, and, you know, maybe here's something that could help.
Yeah, and it's so powerful, even the simplicity of just being able to listen and to understand. I notice with a lot of folks in my parish life, you know, their kids have stopped practicing the faith, or they have somebody they're caring for that seems far from the church, and it can be so frustrating. And they always ask, Father, what's the silver bullet? What's the thing I have to say to get them to come back? What's the one thing I have to do in order to have them come back full to the faith? And sometimes, you know, you wish it were that easy, but sometimes it looks like listening for a long time, to be that place where they can come and just be authentically where they are, even if it's not where you wish they were, and to just care for them in that place. Sometimes without even naming, like, hey, but you should be going to Mass on Sunday, right? There are times for that, and we trust the Holy Spirit will guide us there too, but it is, I think, an opportunity for each of us in our own experience to see, where has the Lord touched me? Where have I struggled and the Lord was present to me? And where can I kind of go out and do the same for another? I think of some of my friends who are doing more missionary-style work. You know, they're just on fire for the faith, and, you know, each week new kids come in, or they go to a new college campus, what have you, and new situations, but they're grounded in that sort of faith that we've been talking about, and that gives them the opportunity to just be there with the people, hear their story, and to be Christ.
Our spiritual director today is Father Bobby Blood, a priest in the Diocese of Rockford, Illinois. We're talking about the gospel reading from today's gospel at Mass, where Jesus talks about being salt of the earth or the light of the world. And when have you been that light to the world around you, to the community that is there in your area? Maybe it's just your family and friends. Maybe it's coworkers. Maybe it's the people you interact with. If you work in a service job and you see other people day in and day out, and you have that ability to be someone who's just simply kind, who's generous, how do you share Christ with others by your actions? How are you that light to the world? Our studio line is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And Father, we've got Rich who's listening in Los Angeles. Hi, Rich. Welcome to The Inner Life today.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
So 1 year I was looking for, should I talk?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Rich. How are you the light of the world in your community?
Well, I was looking for a different way to do that. I'm a pilot, and I wanted to share my faith somehow. So I signed up for what's called Angel Flight. And I got this flight where I had to take someone all the way from Fresno to San Diego to the Scripps Institute. And I thought, that's unusual. So anyway, we went to pick the passenger up, and I noticed that she was very, very somber. And I thought, well, a teenage girl should be animated and happy. And the guys weren't sure what to do. But I said, well, get her bags. And they went to get her bags, and she pulled them back and said, everybody's always helping me. I don't want to help. I said, whatever she wants, let her do. So she walked to the plane, and we showed her because she was interested in how a plane flies. And then she thanked me, and she got in the plane and promptly fell asleep all the way to, from Fresno to San Diego. So, and me and the other pilot thought that was the most rewarding thing we ever came across that we could have done, and the feeling was just overwhelming. And we didn't talk about religion or faith or anything else, but we were just doing something where we as pilots felt we could share and you know...
What's beautiful about that, Rich, is just how powerful your awareness was and also your presence. You know, it's beautiful just to see that it's the small things. It's noticing she was somber. It's the little choices to make connection with another soul, make a huge impact on those we're trying to notice and serve. But also it's beautiful to notice the way that that impacted you as well.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Rich. Really appreciate you calling in and sharing your story there, too. And Father, you know, one of the things that I guess I'm thinking, listening to Rich too, is we don't necessarily have to use those opportunities where we're encountering somebody. It doesn't have to be that overt evangelization. We can simply just, again, be kind to someone, you know, if opening a door for someone, you know, just giving a smile, some little token that says, You're a person, and I recognize that you're worth something. You have dignity. I mean, those moments, not just trying to avoid eye contact as you walk past people in a store or, you know, getting on or off a bus or a train, you know, just simply saying that everybody, you know, not out loud, but just in the interactions, the way you see them, everyone here is potentially a son or a daughter of God, and God wants their salvation. He longs for their salvation. Christ died on the cross for their salvation, and he wants them to come home.
And I think of the man who's at the pool of Bethesda, right? He was laying there disabled for, what is it, like 38 years. And Jesus ultimately heals him, but even before that, he just notices the man lying there. And sometimes that's enough. We can feel the pressure as Christians to, you know, I've got to take people all the way. I've got to not only plant the seeds, but I need to water them. I need to care for it and have them bloom into this beautiful, devout, you know, rosary-praying Catholic. But sometimes the Lord is just asking us to plant the seed, right? One image I like to use is we all want to score touchdowns. We want the glory. But sometimes the Lord is saying, just get the first down. And that could be making that eye contact or asking somebody a question about how their day is, or just to notice something about them and name it. I think affirmation is a big thing, even without saying, you know, Jesus cares for you because you're X, Y, and Z. Just to name, like, wow, you have a great smile. You bring a lot of joy to this place. Or, you know, I notice you worked an extra hour or two, or, you know, especially, you know, if this last year and a half, people in the medical field, just to thank them for their sacrifices. Not because we're a Christian, but just because it's worth naming. And then eventually, right, it comes to the point where they notice, like, wow, they cared for me well, and you realize it's because they know the Lord.
Right. Well, and those kinds of things, I think a lot of times when we talk about evangelizing, about being a witness for our faith, there's this nervousness because, especially if we're shy, if we're not naturally outgoing, it can be off-putting to have someone try and proselytize you, first of all. So you know that walking in. But if you're just simply doing those kind actions, saying thank you, you know, thank you for doing what you're doing, giving that smile, those kinds of ways of evangelizing might be the best way. It might be the best news that a shy, a non-outgoing person has heard, that, oh, I can still be that light of Christ to the world.
I remember one of my closest friends in seminary, he's now a priest in South Dakota. We used to go to this coffee shop, and, you know, we got a lot of energy, and so we're goofing and laughing, and then we would just sit in the coffee shop and talk, and when somebody new would walk in, we would just take the time to offer a little prayer for them, just privately, not so that they would notice, or not even to them, but just for them. And I just remember the Lord gracing a lot of opportunities where we took that moment for prayer, and then by the time we were leaving, they would stop by and say hello, or we would be in our clerics. And but it's the small things, right? The Lord is asking us just to notice and to be that example, as quietly and as simply as we need.
Do you think there's certain, I guess, passages in Scripture that we can look at that might help us, might reinforce for us just that importance of, I think of where, you know, James, he talks about faith and works, and he says, you say you have faith without works, I will demonstrate my faith by my works. You know, that what we do is so important. We can't just be a Catholic or a Christian in name only and just say, well, I believe, and yes, I do this, but, you know, I guess it's kind of reemphasizing what we kind of said in a different way earlier, that there's that old saying of do what I say, not what I do. But Jesus is really telling us, if we're going to have any credibility, if people will listen to us when we try and share our faith, it can't just be words. Our actions, our behaviors, they really have to back up what we're saying.
I think looking through the gospel, to see the actions of Jesus and to see every encounter he has, John Henry Newman uses the phrase, right, heart speaks to heart. You can really see the vulnerability in which Jesus meets so many people. Or think of the woman at the well. We think about every time he healed anyone, the demoniacs. He always reverenced the humanity of the person in front of him. And with the woman at the well, he named her dignity. He also was able to kind of draw her into a deeper sense of self. And that inspired her to spread the gospel message to her whole town. Come see the man who told me everything about myself, right? He offered that living water. But when we look at these encounters of Jesus, we first notice his strength in docility. There's such a beautiful, I don't know, inner working in the heart of Jesus that I think we should strive for, in that he doesn't come out guns blazing, but he also doesn't come out as a wet noodle, right? There's this balance where we can gently love the soul in front of us without losing that sort of strength and zeal that we've been given by the nature of our baptism and the sacraments. And so I really just invite all of us to just think about the words of Jesus and even the way that he encountered so many, the tax collector, Zacchaeus up in the tree. He noticed, and he stood with them and then entered into dialogue and was able to continue to bring them further. But it started with that moment of encounter, and I think that's the powerful example that our parish needs from the gospel.
It also, as you're talking about, you know, the woman at the well and Zacchaeus and, you know, some of these different people that he's interacting with, It's not like, you know, a lot of times we hear that Jesus is, he's giving kind of as a category of the scribes and the Pharisees, you hypocrites, you brood of vipers. I mean, he has some really strong words for the religious leaders there. But if one of them, like Nicodemus in the third chapter of St. John's Gospel, if they come to him and want to learn more, want to hear what he has to say, he welcomes them. But I think of Nicodemus as well as you were talking to the woman at the well. In both of those encounters, he sees them as individuals, as you're saying, Father. But he also, he doesn't just dwell on maybe the question they have. He goes to the root of what is their real concern? What are you really after here? Not just simply, you know, the woman at the well, you know, she ends up asking a question of, where's the right place to worship? You know, but Jesus says, you really should be asking me about the living water. You're getting water out of the well. You should be asking me for the living water that I can give that you'd never thirst again. He gets right to the heart of the question there. Same with Nicodemus. He gets right to the heart of what Nicodemus is after. And so even though Nicodemus is a Pharisee, he's one of those religious leaders, Jesus is willing to say, no, come on in, let's talk. Let's get to what you're actually asking here. If we open that door for Christ in our own lives, then he's going to answer our questions. He's going to give us what we need, even if we don't really realize it as we're asking, maybe not the right question at the time. But that also is how we can carry out Christ to the world, is be that example and follow in Christ's footsteps.
And to return to what we were talking about before with you can't give what you don't have, that sort of authenticity in prayer can be terrifying. Right, to enter into that place where Jesus says, no. Here's what you're really getting at. Right, to feel that sort of almost challenge or invitation from the Lord can be scary. But the beautiful thing is the Lord doesn't just leave things open-ended, or he doesn't just kind of rip open wounds and leave them open. He might kind of open a wound in order that it might heal properly. And so we experience that in our own conversation with Jesus, and then the same is true when we're going to have these conversations, when we're taking it one step deeper maybe than somebody's comfortable going, right? We don't want to push too much, right. Always invite, never impose, but to be able to kind of ask those deeper questions and get to the root of, why is this conversation even happening right now?
Yeah. Well, and like you said, planting seeds, that's an important part of this too. Not feeling like everything has to go from initial conversation to, great, you're ready to enter the church and be baptized and confirmed coming up this Easter. That doesn't have to be the end of the initial conversation there. Our spiritual director, Father Bobby Blood, a priest in the Diocese of Rockford, Illinois. We're talking about today's gospel reading, how we can be the light of the world. When have you been that light to the world? How do you share Christ with others by your behaviors, by your actions, by the things that you do? How are you that witness for Christ and his church? Our studio line, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're going to talk with Joe coming up next here on The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. Call in now to share your story with our Inner Life spiritual directors. 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Josh Raymond, along with our spiritual director, Father Bobby Blood, and you are listening to The Inner Life. Today, we're talking about the gospel reading that we all hear at Mass. It's in the very early part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he talks about that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And he specifically says that we need to shine that light by the good deeds that we do to glorify God in heaven. How have you been that light of the world? How do you share Christ with others by your actions? Again, our studio line, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And Father, let's go back to the phones. We've got Joe, who's listening in Arizona. Hi, Joe. Welcome to The Inner Life. You're on the air with Father Blood.
Thank you for taking my call. Two ways I feel that, and I'd like to urge others to consider doing it. is being an usher at church and also being a minister of care, bringing communion to those who are unable to come to church. By being an usher, I think in both those actions, we evangelize by our actions. By being an usher, greeting people as they come into church. I mean, many times people have, you know, never returned because nobody greeted them, and I've heard that here on Relevant Radio and have taken that to heart. Also, when doing ministry of care, like in a nursing home or even in people's homes, a lot of times I've had the non-Catholic relatives or somebody there start asking questions. And once again, we'll never know until we get to the other side of eternity what seeds we may have planted, but that's just something I think we need to be cognizant in those two roles all at all times.
Yeah, and what I appreciate about that example is, like ushering at Mass, we're evangelizing even those who are coming to Mass, to realize even in the midst of our own Christian community, we're being invited to continue to be that witness because we're always going deeper, and we don't know how often those folks have been there. Maybe it's their first time. So I think that's a great example. Joe, is there a certain instance or time where you were impacted by either ushering or that ministry of care where you kind of felt the Lord blessing you in the midst of you doing that good work?
On ministry of care, I can say that every time I do it, I feel like the Holy Spirit has really helped me to, you know, answer questions. A lot of it is because of my job. I have windshield time, so I'm able to listen to Relevant Radio a lot. And I'm able to answer questions that people have, even as an usher, by the fact that, you know, Relevant Radio, but it's just stuff that just kind of comes off the tip of my tongue because, and I give the Holy Spirit credit for that. I mean, I'm no scholar, so to say, but, and just helping people. I've heard feedback that people, you know, that all the other ushers are starting to greet people as they come into church and at the other masses. And I've heard very good feedback that, you know, I've been to churches. I've had a person say I've been to church and nobody's ever spoke to me. And you guys have, you know, made me happy about it, made me feel welcomed.
Yeah, well, Joe, we appreciate your witness and that invitation to all of us. I love just that example of that you've given it, of saying it's the Holy Spirit, right? I think so much of what we've been talking about today is that invitation to be docile to the Holy Spirit and these opportunities for evangelization, realizing that we can do very little on our own. But if he's doing the prompting, it's going to make a big difference.
Yeah. Joe, thanks so much for calling into The Inner Life today. And Father, you know, just that usher position, I think that's such a great example there of, you know, being that evangelist. And there's so many different opportunities, so many different, I mean, most parishes will have all kinds of different groups, different ministries that will be happening in the parish. I'm sure I'm not aware of probably a third to a half of what happens in our own parish. I know they're there because I end up seeing some of them, or, you know, I'll hear them talked about from, you know, the pulpit there at the end of Mass when they're making the announcements. They'll have something that's talked about, one of those different ministries, one of those different opportunities. And it doesn't mean that we have to be involved in every single one, but just volunteering in some of those different ways at your parish. That can be, I know my wife and I, we helped with baptism prep for a few years at our parish, and doing that, it was an opportunity for us because we'd see a lot of young couples. They have their very first child, and they might have been away from the faith for, you know, since maybe high school or college. But now that they have that little one that they've welcomed into their home, they realize, you know, it's probably really important to get this child baptized and to actually raise them in the faith that is important. You know, okay, we've been away for a while. So even that welcoming back and saying, okay, sure, yeah, this is a wonderful thing you're doing, wanting this sacramental initiation, bringing your child into the church, and just volunteering that way in your parish, you have so many opportunities to welcome people in and say, yeah, don't just stop here. There's way more that you can be involved in.
and my pastor calls them on-ramps. We're always trying to find ramps where people can kind of come on board with the faith and in ways that are not challenging or terrifying. And because it's, you know, it'd be hard for somebody who's new to jump right into theological study. But hey, maybe they like to knit. And the thing is, here at the parish, we got a knitting club. But it's a knitting club made up of people who have fallen in love with Jesus, and then that conversation naturally happens. So it's trying to find those pockets in our community where we can do things we enjoy. Maybe it's a bowling league, maybe it's greeting, ushering, finding these ways to connect with people, always doing it as a Christian community and being able to lean into these relationships we've been reflecting on this morning.
Yeah, that community aspect is really important there too. You know, Jesus, when he sent out his disciples, the apostles there, to preach and to go out and talk to others. And they were even working miracles, but he sent them out in pairs. They didn't go out just by themselves. And so having someone else that can be there, that can support, that can encourage you along your way so that you don't feel like you're just in it by yourself, that's a really important aspect of this too.
It is, yeah. And I think we see that even in our own experience of faith, right? We're never out on an island. Our sin is never private, and also the grace we win is never private. There's something so communal about everything that we do, and that's why we're kind of being invited into this vulnerability and allowing ourselves to be known and seen, and vice versa, trying to strive to do the same for others.
Yeah, well, and I want to pick up on one other thing that Joe said, too, you know, about the Holy Spirit, and you made mention of that, too, Father, but if we are in one of these conversations, if we're having this interaction with somebody, we want to make sure we don't get frustrated if someone doesn't join the church. You know, I mentioned that, you know, it doesn't need to go from start the conversation and within the next 20 or 30 minutes, the person's ready to convert. Most of those conversations, most of those interactions will probably not change anything in the moment. But as you said, it might plant that seed. And someone will think about that in the coming days, the coming weeks, the coming months. And then a different conversation down the road with someone else might be the point where that someone, they come to Christ, they come into the church. And I guess I'm saying we need to be patient and not think that our efforts are for our own gratification. We're simply called to share the faith when that door is open. But we really need to step back and let the Holy Spirit be the one to do that heavy lifting. We're just there to get that person thinking, give that smile, give that word of encouragement, maybe give a response if somebody has a question about the faith. But again, let the Holy Spirit do the work.
And sometimes it's as simple as taking a deep breath. I think it's our tendency to always think about what's the next thing I'm going to say. And that's in every conversation, but especially with the faith. But to take a breath and really hear something out to its fullness, and then allow that moment of pause, that moment of space, so that the Spirit can guide us and show us, okay, what's the next play? Because sometimes we can get in our own head and we can get sort of anxious in these situations. I need to do enough. I hope I do more. And really, sometimes the Holy Spirit is just saying, hey, it's okay. Slow down. We're going to take care of this. And you know, you just being present here is going to be enough. But it is trying to invite the Spirit into those moments and allow Him to guide, because it's their church, the Trinity, so we're just working for it, you know?
Yeah. Father Bobby Blood, our spiritual director today, we're talking about being the light of the world. When have you been that light to the world around you, your community? How do you share Christ with others by your actions? Father Katrina, she wrote in and she emailed us, said, one little thing I enjoy doing is handing out a small index card, and it has a smiley face on it with the words, God bless your day. When she goes to different stores, she'll give it when she checks out to the clerk there at the counter. And she says several times the person responds with some comment like, you really made my day. And so she's just encouraging others to try something simple like that. It doesn't even have to be some overt evangelization, just simply being that friendly person. You know, if you're a regular at a store, might open the conversation one day.
Yeah, and for somebody to see another who's enjoying life. You know, the Christian life is not meant to be sour. And so I think that example of that index card is simple and exactly what it should be. Somebody is living life to the full and enjoying existence and just wants to brighten another person's day. That's really the first step of enjoying what it means to be a Christian.
Well, and we're down to just our last couple of minutes here. One other thought, Father, is just we have a lot of people who might get married, don't think about their faith initially. They get more energized in their faith. If I'm a Catholic married to a non-Catholic, I have to be kind of careful. I don't want to be nagging, but what is a good way to evangelize, to be able to share my faith without creating too much of chaos or in that relationship?
Yeah, I think that temptation to nag is one that comes up often, because if the faith becomes incredibly important, you just desperately want to share it with the people who are closest to you. I think that's natural,
right,
to have that desire. But then we ask the question, what's the most effective way to go about that? And sometimes that means, one, prayer for your spouse, but also just sharing the moments of grace. So let's say you do a holy hour once a week and something hit you in prayer, to just share with your spouse, this really touched me, this is kind of beautiful, or I read this thing in the Magnificat. Just little moments to share with them and invite them into that spiritual world and see where the Lord guides.
Father Bobby Blood, our spiritual director, and Father, we're down to about our last maybe 10 seconds here. Could I ask you for a blessing for all of our listeners today?
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Blood, thank you so much for being our spiritual director here on The Inner Life. And want to encourage you to tune in tomorrow. We're going to talk about surrendering ourselves to God here on The Inner Life. That idea of surrender, that's a tough one. We're going to try and tackle it together. Hope you join us tomorrow. And of course, stay tuned. We've got Mass coming up next. Father Edward Looney is our celebrant. Have a wonderful rest of your Tuesday, and God bless you.